It's good at all times, but particularly at a time like this, that we would turn to God's Word. And what I want us to do this morning is to turn to the Old Testament, not the passage that we read from the book of Isaiah, but I want you to turn your Bibles, if you have them, to the book of Psalms. It is here we have the hymn book of the church that God has given to his people to sing in every age. And in particular, I want us to consider words that we find in Psalm 46. Psalm 46. And we read there at the beginning of Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. How are you this morning? Whether it is that you're in Toronto, or whether it is that you're in other parts of the world, it's a question that I think probably we're asking ourselves each day that God gives to us at this time. How are we? And if it is that you're like myself, you're probably a mixture of emotions and concerns. On the one hand, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it is that no matter what is happening in the world because of the COVID-19 virus, we believe and rejoice in the fact that God is still on the throne, that Christ is still building his church. And when it is that Christ said to his people 2,000 years ago, "Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," that the promise that he pronounced then is still as applicable to us here in 2020. That it is that we can, as we exercise faith, come to the Christ when it is that we labor, and it is that he has promised to give us rest. And yet at the same time, and this is the reality of what it means to be a believer, it is that a person who declares themselves to be a Christian, that we're not someone who is seeking a crutch to lean upon through a life with all its difficulties, but they are someone who's recognizing the reality of life and the reality of the fact of sin and what it is that sin has done to mankind and indeed to this earth and to the universe as a whole. And it is that David the psalmist, that he himself, throughout the Psalter, he speaks of this reality often. And in Psalm 116 in verse 3, this is what David writes: "The snares of death encompass me." How many can say that today? The snares of death. It is that the snares of COVID-19 encompass many today. "And then because of that, the pains of hell laid hold on me. I suffered anguish and distress." And how many in the world today are suffering anguish and distress because of this virus? And therefore, that's why it's right, that's why it's good, that at this difficult, perplexing, anxious, and difficult time, that we would find our strength and comfort, our direction and our hope from the word that God has given to us. Think on it. If anybody had told you at the beginning of 2020, even on the 1st of January itself, what your circumstances would be before the end of March 2020, you would probably have laughed at them. You would probably have said you're spending too much time in Netflix, and in particular, you're spending too much time watching disaster movies. And yet, this is where we find ourselves this morning. In many ways, what we witness is like out of a movie, but it's no movie. It's the reality of what's happening in this scene of time. And it's the reality of what every person in every continent of this earth is facing in coming days. And that's therefore why it's good to consider what the psalmist writes in Psalm 46. Now, what's interesting about this psalm historically is that it was a favorite psalm of the reformer Martin Luther. And it is that many of us will know that Luther wrote a hymn. It has the title, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And basically the hymn that Martin Luther wrote, it was a paraphrase of what we find here in Psalm 46. But the thing that connects us to what took place in 1527 is that Luther faced a day and a situation that is very similar to our own. It was in August of 1527 that the bubonic plague had come to Wittenberg, where Luther dwelt in Germany, And it is, from what we understand, the bubonic plague was a particularly virulent and awful disease, and it killed its victims quickly and painfully. When it is that things were dark, Martin Luther would turn to one of his colleagues, a Philip Melanchthon, and it is that he would say to Philip, "Come now, Philip, let us sing the 46th. Let us sing Psalm 46. Let's remind ourselves of the fact that even in the midst of distress, even in the midst of trouble, and even for us in the midst of COVID-19, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble." Now, the structure of the psalm is important for us, because what we find in the structure is that we're presented in three vignettes, three scenes, as it were, that the Almighty God is the one who gives strength to his people in difficult and dangerous and distressing times. And as I said, there are three scenes in the psalm. The first scene you find in the first three verses that we read. It begins with the declaration of God as our refuge, the God who protects us in the midst of upheaval of a vicious sort. And it's a picture of God's power over nature. And it is that it's a God who is all-powerful, even though it is that everything around us is collapsing. The second scene is painted for us in verses 4 to 7. And it is that we see God's people turning to him as their security, and that in the midst of national uproar. And that's what I would encourage us, and indeed all throughout the world, all our leaders and others like them, and the movers and shakers of our day, that they might seek the face of God and his wisdom at this difficult time. And then the third scene is from verse 8 to 11. It's a picture of a battlefield. The battle is over. The bodies of the enemy and the engines of war of the enemy, they're strewn all over the place. And so it is that in this last scene, God's power over the whole warring world is celebrated in that scene. But before that time comes, there will be wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, pestilence, COVID-19, all these things to come to us and perplex us. Let's spend then some time on this first scene, verses 1 to 3, and see what it's saying to us. First thing, very simply, is trust God. That's what I think that the psalmist in these first three verses is saying to us. Trust God. It's as simple as that. And it is that we say, why can we trust God? Well, the psalmist is saying to us that God can be trusted when the world is going out of control. God can be trusted when life is going out of control, and God can be trusted even when it is that your life appears to be going out of control. It is that he writes, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And the picture that is painted for us here is a situation where life as we have known it, and life perhaps over many decades, is now very suddenly changed, and that for the worse. All the certainties that were ours yesterday, it is that they seem to be evaporating before us as each day goes ahead. Look at what the psalmist says here. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, the mountains be moved, and so on. He's speaking about a cataclysmic earthquake in which the whole world is unmade. The stable mountains that appear as though they cannot be moved are falling into the sea, and the chaotic seas are swirling and foaming and covering the earth. One writer that I was reading in preparation for today, he put it like this. What we have here in these verses is a picture of Genesis 1 reversed, where all the distinctions between land and sea that God has established are being undone. And so it is, we have a picture of the challenges facing the people of God in the midst of an upheaval in their lives. COVID-19 has brought upheaval into the lives of nations today. COVID-19 has brought upheaval into the lives of leaders and the peoples of nations. And perhaps it is that as you're listening and watching me today, there are various upheavals in your life because of COVID-19. Maybe it is that you're facing health problems, that you're someone who has contracted this virus. Maybe it is that because of the shutdown of so many places that you're unemployed at the moment, and it is that you're seeing the mortgage payment coming up at the end of the month. It is that you're seeing that your pantry, your fridge is becoming ever barer, and you're wondering, how am I going to provide food for my family and pay my bills and so on? And that's therefore why it's good that in the midst of these very practical and pressing situations that we take our stand and build upon the Word of God. Because through the psalmist, God is reminding us of his power and his power to protect us against anything. And it is that God is saying quite simply here that in the midst of destruction, in the midst of disease, in the midst of distress, we are safe in the midst of the most violent upheaval of nature that is ever possible. Notice how the psalmist does this. He begins by pointing us to who God is. He's saying, consider who God is. God is our refuge and our strength. God is our help in days of trouble. You see, very naturally, because we're creaturely, we're fleshly, it is that we tend to read present circumstances, especially when they're traumatic and they're difficult. And it is that we read them as the final word on reality, as the final word of our day-to-day experience, as the final word of what it is that our life will be hereafter. But it is that God is saying through the psalmist, behind you and under you and around you and over you, know that there is a greater reality. Know that there is a larger reality. And know that we are able, as we exercise faith in Christ, that we are able to believe and to know of a reality which transcends our specific circumstances in this life and enables us to look forward to what it is that God has prepared for those who love him. And the psalmist points us to three realities about God in this first verse. First one is security. The first thing that the psalmist speaks of is security. And notice how he does this. He says, God is our refuge. That's the security that you can know of at this time. And the word that the psalmist uses is a word that speaks of God making his people secure by defending us. That it is that he's a God who shelters us, who draws us close to himself. And notice how beautifully it is that the psalmist tells us this. He says to us, God himself is our refuge. It's not even that God provides a refuge, not even that God gives refuge, but it is that he himself is the one whom we shelter in. And that's what I would encourage you to do today, especially if it is that you're finding things difficult at the moment. I know from speaking with some of you and hearing of some of you that you're concerned, that you're anxious, and naturally so. I would urge you then, go to the God who himself is the one in whom you can shelter, in whom you can take refuge. Because this speaks of the security that is and can be ours because God is our defense. Second reality is not the reality of security, but the second reality is the reality of strength. God is our refuge. God is our strength. Now, this verse and this part of the verse can be taken two ways. One hand, it can be referring to the inner strength, physical, mental, physiological, that is ours and that God provides for us. But I think that though that's true of what the psalmist is saying, that it speaks of something greater. And what it's pointing to is that God is the one who is strong when we are weak. God is the one who is strong when we are weak. One of the things that struck me recently in the past days are the number of bulletins that are going out to the young people of nations. It seems the spring break down in Florida, they're still flogging to the beach. I was reading on the BBC website of where I come from, and it is that the young people are meeting together downtown and doing all sorts of things. And it's as though they're of the mindset that they're invincible. And all of us, whatever age we are, we can think back to our days when we were young people. I can remember back to when I was a young man. And it is that I thought I was invincible, that I thought that I would live forever. Now that I'm the age I am, I know that's not the case. And many probably do that as well. But when it is that we are weak, whatever age we are, God is the one who is strong. And the reason I say that is because also verses 2 and 3. We will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and though the mountains tremble at its swelling. You see, if these things are happening in your life, if that's the reality of your position at the moment, quite frankly, it doesn't matter how strong you are. If it is that the world is being removed from under your feet, it really doesn't matter how strong you are. Because when it is that such catastrophes and calamities come into your life, what you need is someone who is infinitely stronger than you. And even if it's the case that the world is being drawn away from you, and that's the picture of verses 2 and 3, the psalmist is saying to us, look, we have someone stronger who's available to us, and that someone is God. And this God is strong for us when we are weak. This God is strong for us when we are unable to meet the challenges of our present circumstances. And this God, we can only know of him even as we listen to in Psalm 23, when it is that we can say that this God who is the Lord, that he is our shepherd. And I would urge you this morning, here from Toronto, that if you know not Jesus Christ as your Lord and shepherd, if it is that you have not bowed your knee to Christ and confessed your sins, that you do this now. Because he himself has promised beautifully that he will draw near to those who draw near unto him. So it is that there's security here. It is that there's strength here. The third thing that's here is support. Look at what we read at the end of verse 1. God is a very present help in time of trouble. Now the words that the psalmist uses are significant. The word that's translated as a present here really could be literally translated as well-proved. Well-proved. God is well-proved as a help in time of trouble. And the word that's translated as trouble could also literally be translated as tightness. All of us know what it's like at times to end up in a tight situation. A situation in which it is that we may feel cornered, that there's nowhere to turn, that our backs are against the wall. And the psalmist is saying to us, in the tight situations of life, God is well proven as the one who is able to save his people. Think of it concerning the children of Israel. And it is that they've come forth from their slavery in Egypt. And it is that they come to the shores of the Red Sea. And as they're there, the Red Sea stretches before them. And in their hearing, they hear the chariots of Egypt bearing down upon them. Talk about a tight spot. If they turn back, the Egyptians are going to slaughter them. If they seek to go forward into the Red Sea, it is that they'll drown many of them. But God is well proven. What does he do? We read that he himself, through Moses, parted the Red Sea. And it is that the children of Israel went through to the other side safely, that he brought them out of that tight spot. And throughout their wilderness wanderings, you'll read time and time again of when they were in tight spots, that God, who had proven himself to them over many years, that he still was able to help them. You see, that's been my experience now. I became a Christian when I was 19. And I've had my ups and downs. But over those years, 41 years, time and time again, God has proven himself. And he has helped me in tight spots that I have got myself into. And I know that some of you watching and listening today, that you have got yourself into tight spots at times, but you've sought to extricate yourself. And instead of coming from this spot, it seems to be getting tighter and tighter and tighter. And maybe COVID-19, it's as though you're in the vice now, and the handle has been turned and turned, and you're feeling the pressure. Oh, look to God. Look to the great physician. Look to the one who is able to heal body and soul. Look to the one of whom the psalmist says, he is well proven, and it is that he is able to bring us out of the tight spot. And you see, the wonderful thing is that this God, though he be transcendent, though he be high and lifted up, though he is light and in and of himself we cannot approach him, God has chosen to dwell in the midst of his people. It is, he's described as the Holy One of Israel. You've got his transcendence, he's the Holy One, and it is, you've got his immanence. He's the Holy One of his people, Israel. And it is that even today, that this same God who is holy, who is transcendent, that this same God is with us today through his word and through the application of the gospel and the blessing of the Holy Spirit if we are trusting in Jesus Christ. You see, that's the wonderful thing about the gospels as we have them in the New Testament. And it is that there are many who would deride, it is that there are many who would even question whether Jesus Christ really walked upon the face of this earth. But when we come to the gospel accounts, we are presented from the heart and mind of God of a Jesus who is a walking, breathing exclamation that God is pleased to dwell with his people. And that God is pleased to be found in their midst and that to dwell with them. That he is Emmanuel, that he is God with us. We see it at the moment of his crucifixion, that the temple veil, that it was torn in part from top to bottom, torn in two. And what it was symbolizing was that the access to God was now being reestablished, and it was being inaugurated as Christ shed his blood. And it's something that will be ultimately consummated when Jesus returns to this earth. The wonderful thing that the Bible tells us is that when we see him, we shall be like him. Even from the moment of the fall in Genesis 3, even there when God in Genesis 3:15 says that he himself, that the serpent would bruise the heel of his servant, but that it is that the serpent's head would be crushed. Even there, God was drawing near to us and saying, this will be the ultimate goal. This will be the ultimate end for my people. One writer I was reading put it like this, and I think it's good to hear. He wrote, the emphasis of the Bible falls upon God's activity, God's initiative, God's approach to man preceding man's approach to God. Both in the Old Testament story and in that of the New, he is an intensely personal God who visits his people, who hears his people, and who answers the prayers of his people. Is that your experience today? I pray that it is so, as you would consider what God has done for you in Christ. You see, the psalmist is saying, God cannot be shaken. When the world is turned upside down, God cannot be shaken. When your world is turned upside down, God cannot be shaken. When you yourself are turned upside down, God cannot be shaken. So what do you do when things are turned upside down? You run to God, and nothing can shake you. Absolutely nothing at all. You run to God and you let go of the movables, the things that you've been trusting in. And it is that you run to God in Christ, who has promised us that as we would come to him, that he will grant to us peace and perfect rest. So you've got this immediate support. But in closing, I also want to say that we're reminded here that we have an intimate support. Not just immediate, but an intimate support. The reason the church is empty today, apart from three of us, the church building, I should say, is empty apart from three of us, is because of social distancing. That's one of the watchwords. You read it, you hear it, and it is that through social distancing, they're hoping to flatten the curve, as they call it, with regard to COVID-19. Some are even of the mind that they hope that not only will they flatten it, but basically that they'll crush it down. And it is that the virus will no longer be a problem. And we feel and know of the effects of social distancing. How many of us perhaps today would have loved to have been with grandchildren and brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers? How many of us would love to have been in this church building today? But because of social distancing and the wisdom, I think, and I believe in social distancing, it is that that cannot be. But stop for a moment and think of Jesus. Was he somebody when he came to this earth? Was he somebody who promoted social distancing? When he came to this earth, wasn't COVID-19 that he was to find? But when Jesus came to this earth, it was a sinful and fallen world. I sometimes think that we forget, in some ways, what a horrible thing it must have been for him. He came from heaven, that place of light, that place of glory, that place where there is no sin whatsoever. And he came to this world. He's found in the cattle trough at Bethlehem, far less the womb of the virgin. And then he's found in a backwater, Nazareth. And then it is that for 3 years of his earthly ministry, what do we find? Is he distancing himself? No. What we have in Jesus is a social incarnating. What we have in Jesus is a social joining, a social involving, and a social closeness. Our evening sermons just recently, we've been considering the fact that the Pharisees in Jesus' day, that they were offended that Jesus was found eating and drinking with what was considered to be the scum of the earth. And yet there he was in their midst, not keeping distance. And that's the hope and indeed the comfort that can be ours today. That whether it be COVID-19 or whether it be a particular sin or lapse in your life, that you can know of this God being your refuge and your strength, a very present help in time of trouble, and you can know of this God in an intimate way as he is found, not distancing himself, but indeed drawing near to you. I want to close with words from John's Gospel in chapter 14 and verse 23. And I think they're some of the most wonderful words that we find in the whole of the New Testament. This is what you read, John 14, 23. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." That's the way it's going to be. If you say you love Jesus, you keep the word of Jesus. But then listen to what he says. "And my Father will love him, and we, the Father and the Son, will come to that individual and will make their home with him." That's astounding. That God, the Father and the Son, would make their home with us. So the question that you have to ask today is God in your home? Is God in your life? Is God in your sons and daughters' lives? Is God in your husband's life? Is he in your wife's life? Is he in your grandchildren's life? No one can turn around and say, God doesn't care. Because God, through Christ, says here, we will come to you and we will make our home with you. Amen. May God bless these thoughts. Let's pray now to God. Father, we thank you for these words written so many centuries ago and yet so applicable to us here in 2020 and in the midst of this COVID-19 crisis. And we pray that all of us who have joined online today, that we would be those who exercise faith and who make you our refuge and our strength, and know of you being a very present help in time of trouble. We pray that we would open the doors of our heart to you, that we might know of you and your Father coming to make your home with us and to bless us with the blessings of salvation. We pray particularly for any who have been with us online today and who are anxious, who are scared, wondering what it is that the future holds for them in the light of this virus. And we pray that you might give to them, O Lord, the grace of faith and the ability to say, I have made God my refuge and my strength. I know of him as a very present help in this time of trouble. Go with us then, Father, through the remainder of this your day. Watch over us in the week that lies ahead. And forgive sin and accept us in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.